Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you are now listening to episode 8. Episode 8 is part 3 of the 3-part nutrition series I'm doing, so if you haven't listened to those other two, make sure you go back and reference those too. They have a lot of really good information, and I do a Q&A at the very end of each segment as well, so there's great information for you guys. On today's podcast, we're going to go through the diet culture myths that are really popular today. We're going to try our best to debunk them, okay? So, when it comes to debunking diet culture myths, the very first one I want to touch on, because I see a lot of my younger girls taking to this myth, it's the whole waist trainer movement. So I just want to point out that there's two different types of waist trainers. There's the corset one. So there's the one that you tie really, really tight to kind of get that hourglass figure. And then there's the one that is a thermogenic, right? And it just raises your core body temperature and makes you sweat a lot. So I'm going to debunk both of these and show you guys exactly why you should not be wasting your money on products like this, okay? So for the very first one, we'll go over the corset one first. First and foremost, I want you all to know that if you wear these things for a long period of time, you're going to misplace and harm your organs. And honestly, I feel like I don't need any other point or any other argument after I say that. You can physically damage, harm, and misplace your organs. Okay, so not only that, guys, but it increases your trouble of digestion. So it messes with your gut health and it gives you heartburn as well. So these reasons, we all talk about gut health, right? And how important it is. So if you're already having issues with your digestive system, doing things like this, like wearing a corset, is only going to further harm and further complicate your issues, okay? Even if you don't have any issues with your digestive system, wearing corsets like this can definitely affect it. And it's very important to be going to the bathroom. I know this is weird, but be going to the bathroom a few times a day, okay? So, no, with the corset. Please do not do the corset waist trainer. Now, moving on to the other type of waist trainer, which is a thermogenic kind. So, this is the one where you see all these ones, like, abs of steel and like sweat stuff and whatever their brands are, but they're wearing these fat burners. You see a lot of girls on fitness on Instagram wearing these, and they take it off and you see all the sweat that is just dripping from these waist trainers, right? And yes, guys, these will heat up your core temperature and it will cause excessive sweating. However, this also puts you at a high risk of dehydration. Okay, so all that water that you're sweating, all that, you know, what it looks like, excessive sweat that it's coming out, yeah, you're going to lose some water weight, guys. Absolutely, 100% you are, but it's at the cost of dehydrating you. Not only that, as soon as you replenish your body, you're going to gain that weight back. So it's not like you're losing actual weight, and it's definitely not like you're losing actual fat. So please don't buy into the hype. Some of these waist trainers cost like $50. You're throwing your money away. I even see girls go as far as like saran wrapping like problem areas such as like their thighs and their stomachs. Guys, you're dehydrating your body and that is all you're doing. So there's definitely no added benefit, but you are putting yourself at risk. So please refrain from investing any money in these, definitely, but refrain from, if you already have them, maybe they were a gift or something, just don't use them. They're not necessary. What's necessary is patience, and if you're trying to lose weight, being in a caloric deficit, and just have patience. These things take time, okay? So the very next one that I definitely want to shine light on, and I got a few direct messages about these, just people asking because they're genuinely curious because they have no idea what to believe. With all the hype that goes around, this industry is so oversaturated now that there's a lot of misinformation out there. So the very next one I want to touch and bring light on is fit teas and detox teas. All right, we're going to start with key ingredients in these. So most fit teas or detox teas or whatever the hell you want to call them, most of these, a key ingredient are laxatives. And now, wow, that's going to obviously make you use the restroom, right? And yes, you will drop a few pounds. there's a huge problem with taking too many laxatives. Yes, it can cause you to lose weight, or sort of weight that, by the way, will be back on in a few days. So it'll cause you to lose a little bit of weight, but it also causes major issues. And again, we're going to touch on that dehydration issue, right? So taking laxatives and some of these fit teas and detox teas, they suggest you to do it up to 2 to 3 times a week, which is literally insane. You're putting a laxative in your body 2 to 3 times a week. That is screaming for so many internal issues, right? So there's absolutely no scientific evidence that these laxatives cause weight loss or detoxify the body. So a lot of these detox teas will have these laxatives in there, but there's absolutely no research that backs up them even having that in there at all. They don't detoxify the body, and there's no real benefit to laxatives and detox teas or fit teas or anything. The only benefit these people are getting from having these laxatives and even marketing fit teas and detox teas is they're able to mislead customers into thinking the water and the stool loss. So like, they're making you think that by losing this water and by losing this stool that you're actually losing weight, sustainable weight. And it's not, guys. It's because you have diarrhea. It's because you're peeing so much. That's the weight you're losing. You're not losing fat. So you're buying into these companies and they're winning because they're able to easily mislead customers. So please, please, please don't buy into the hype. Fit teas, detox teas, I don't care who's trying to sell you this crap. 10 out of 10 times, say no. Just say no. The teas do absolutely nothing more for you than, say, a normal, I don't know, green tea would. And the only thing green tea is really doing for you is, yeah, they have antioxidants. They do have extra, like, health benefits, and they can give you caffeine and stuff, but those are primarily all it's doing for you. And a lot of the health benefits, even in green tea, you can find by having a sustainable diet, okay? Something that's good, something that you're making sure you get your whole foods in, you're having your carbs, fats, and proteins, right? So all these fit teas, these detox teas, in my opinion, are a complete waste of time. And then that brings me to my last point I really want to touch on when it comes to detox teas and fit teas is, even if these teas, like they market, could detox your body, which, again, I can't stress this enough, there's no scientific research saying that these teas detox your body. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. I don't care if somebody shows you a study, you better check that source. It's probably fucking Wikipedia, okay? There's no scientific research to back this stuff up. Not only that, but your body. Again, guys, I can't stress this enough. Our bodies are always going to adapt. They're going to find homeostasis. And in order to do that, it has to have its own natural detox capabilities. So sweating, peeing, pooping, our liver, our kidneys, guys, these are our basically our way of our body doing everything that these fit teas and these detox teas are claiming they do. Your organs, your kidneys, your liver, your GI tract. These are all things in your immune system, basically your body's own natural detoxification center. And it's free. Like, you don't need to be spending money on something that swears it detoxifies your body, but it doesn't. Wasting a bunch of money when your body will naturally do that on its own, especially if you're taking care of it. So as long as you're sweating, pooping, peeing, your body's detoxifying itself. And if you're not, you know, having issues with either of those three, which really would just be pooping, then make sure you're eating plenty of fiber. Drink plenty of water, fruits, vegetables, whole foods. Make sure you're exercising regularly. These are all things that are going to help you and help your body adapt and overcome whatever it's fighting. Okay, guys, so stop investing your money into this BS. It's just not necessary, especially when your body will naturally do it on its own. Okay, so the next, I guess, myth I want to debunk is intermittent fasting. Dun, dun, dun. A lot of this has gotten so much hype over the years, and it really just drives me bonkers. I'm not going to lie to you guys, because I have clients left and right, people in my DMs left and right saying, oh, should I be doing this type of fasting? Should I be doing this fasting? Should I be doing fasted cardio? Should I be doing blah, 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 blah? Guys, there is no added benefit. None. The only difference between intermittent fasting and regular life, I guess you could say, is intermittent fasting narrows down the hours you're allowed to eat. So by nature, you're just naturally going to be eating fewer calories. Hello, if you're only allowed to eat 6 to 8 hours a day, or if your first meal isn't till 1 p.m., of course, by 1 p.m., most people are already eating calories. They're having 500, 800, 1200 calories, whatever it looks like to them. So of course you're not. My problem with this type of fasting is there's studies that link it to binge eating. There's studies that link it to all these, you know, not only mental health disorders, but eating disorders. And especially with the pressure we have on ourselves already with needing to look a certain way, it's only going to magnify that. So guys, you're putting yourself through this torture of not allowing yourself to eat before 7 p.m. or after 7 p.m. or you're not allowed to eat till 1 p.m. or whatever that fasting looks like to you. You're putting yourself through all this torture for no benefit. Guys, all you need to do is intermittent fasting gives you the same results as a restrictive diet does. That's it. Like, there's no secret sauce. There's no, like, amazingness. There's no, like, oh my God, it can, you know, completely change your life in 30 days or less. Let me give you the secret pill to how to do it. It's just not the case, guys. Now, one thing with intermittent fasting, there are some metabolic benefits, but they're very, very, very few and far behind. And basically, it's all about, it increases your insulin sensitivity. So for the vast majority of people who are just starting their fitness journey and just trying to lose weight and just trying to get more active and take care of themselves, this means nothing to them. Absolutely nothing to them. So as a, you know, fitness culture, we are making people believe that these really harsh things to do, this fasted cardio, this intermittent fasting, that's kind of torture to a lot of people. So we're hyping them up, making them think, oh, if you're not doing these things, you're screwed. That's just not the case. And we really need to be careful of what we're promoting in the fitness industry, because that's why a lot of people can't stick to what they're doing. That's why it's not sustainable. That's why so much of America and the world really is overweight. It's because we're making it seem way fucking harder than it is. And we really need to stop doing that. And if you're a fitness professional doing these things, I'm calling you out. You really need to chill, because these little things that make fitness so much harder for people that have very little added benefit, we're hyping them up as if people aren't doing these things, they're not good enough, or they're not the best, or they're not going to see the results. And we know damn well that's not the case. So guys, if you're the general population listening to this, cut it out with the things that aren't sustainable for you, whether that's fasted cardio or intermittent fasting. Cut it out. If it's not for you, it's not for you. Now, however, if you're the type of person, you love not having a breakfast and you can still get your calories in and be in your deficit or surplus or whatever that looks like to you with what your goal is, if you like doing fasted cardio, freaking go for it. If you like the intermittent fasting while you still can get your calories in, go for it. It just depends on what works for you guys. You don't need to be doing these things though. All right. So I hope I covered that pretty freaking good. All right. So the next thing I want to touch on, which I just kind of did a little bit, was there's this whole notion and, I guess movement going around that you can't eat after 6 or 7 or 9, or you can't eat past these nighttime hours, and you can't eat carbs, and you can't have fat because fat makes you fat, and you can't have carbs because carbs make you gain weight, and you shouldn't eat after 7 p.m. because that's how you get fat. Guys, stop. No, that's not how it works. Again, it just comes down to calories in versus calories out. So to cut carbs out of your diet, I just want to stress, carbs are a main source of energy. They're a macronutrient, which means they're essential for a reason. So people see results by cutting carbs out because, yeah, carbs are higher in, they have a higher caloric density. So yeah, they're typically higher in calories. So people completely restrict themselves of carbs. Obviously, they're eating less calories throughout the day, and that's why they're losing weight. However, these same people, their mood swings are out the freaking wall, off the wall, off the chart. Their, energy levels are plummeted. So again, all it comes down to is calories in versus calories out. If you want to lose weight, guys, just be in a caloric deficit. And I'm just going to, plug this in right here. If you don't know how to find out if you're in a caloric deficit or don't know how to find your maintenance level or be in a surplus or anything like that, if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, refer back to the first part of my nutrition series. Guys, I cover all of this. I explain exactly how to find out how to be in a caloric surplus, how to be in a caloric deficit, how to lose weight, how to gain weight, how to maintain it. So definitely refer back. If what I'm talking right now seems like jibber jabber or like gibberish, go back to that episode and you're definitely going to be filled in, okay? But largely what it comes down to is just calories in versus calories out. We don't need this to be something harder, or we're making it seem way harder than it actually is, guys. So you can eat after 7 p.m. if your calories allow for it. Carbs don't make you gain weight. Eating in a caloric surplus does. And fat, eating fat does not make you fat. Eating in a caloric surplus does, okay? So just to clarify all that, there you have it. Now, one of the other ones, again, this one, gosh, I feel like these all just make me cringe to like my core, right? So this next one says, can you be addicted to sugar? This was one of the ones I, like one of the Q&As I got. So I'm just going to put it in here with the myths, because you are not addicted to sugar. You can't be addicted to sugar. Stop saying, oh, I'm addicted to sugar. You're not freaking addicted to sugar. Now, sugar and, let's take something like cocaine, okay? So, sugar and cocaine, they can create some of the same, like brain patterns, I guess you could say, when they're consumed. However, sugar does not create addictive tendencies. It just does not. You don't need to go to rehab because you crave sugar, okay? So, think about it like this. Complete abstinence is needed when you're, you know, being cured of, I don't know, a drug or alcohol addiction. Complete abstinence is necessary. You have to have it or else you're going to withdraw and just relapse, right? So complete abstinence is never, ever, ever necessary with sugar, okay? Now, say you pull sugar from your diet. You're not going to go through these crazy withdrawals, okay? You can still have sugar in your diet while tapering off of it. That's not the same case for an addictive drug or, you know, alcohol or something like that, okay? So now while a sugar detox would decrease your calorie or your caloric intake, it will help you with weight loss, it's not necessary. You do not need to detox your body from sugar. It's not necessary. You don't need to do it. If anything, it's just going to aid in weight loss because you'd be consuming less calories, okay? And not only that, but for most of us, it's completely unrealistic to completely eliminate sugar from our lives. It's just with the food we have, the convenience we have, the lifestyles we're living, to ask us to completely eliminate sugar from our lives is very unrealistic. And honestly, it's very unsustainable as well. So you don't need to detox your body from sugar. You're not addicted to sugar. If you think you're eating too much or you know you're eating too much, taper down a little bit. You don't need to completely cut it out. Sugar doesn't make you fat either. Just like fat doesn't make you fat. Just like carbs don't make you fat. Eating in a caloric surplus does. Okay, guys? So, the next little taboo I want to touch on is lifting weights makes you look manly. And I hear this all the time for females. I've dated guys who have told me, oh, be careful with how much you go to the gym. Like, these are real life things. These are not just, you know, people really be saying these things like, oh, you know, don't go to the gym, you're gonna look too manly, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Guys, lifting weights, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't make you look manly and it doesn't bulk you up, okay? You know what makes you look manly? You know what makes you bulk up? Steroids. Okay, I said it because somebody had to. 100%, it is steroids. Guys, there are female bikini competitors, figure competitors, whoever. People who, pro bodybuilders, people who do this for a living, who still can't look like a dude because that's how long it takes. Okay, so if you're not on an anabolic steroid and you're just in the gym working out, you're fine. I 100% promise you, you're fine. You're not going to look manly. You're not going to bulk up, okay? People work their entire lives to achieve that look, and they still don't do it, especially if they're not using steroids. So, guys, you're not going to look manly. If anything, it's really going to accentuate your curves, right? So, You're gonna grow nice hamstrings, grow nice legs, grow a nice pair of glutes, you know what I mean? Work on your shoulders. If anything, it'll give you an illusion that you have a smaller waist, because the more you build your shoulders, your upper body, the more you build your glutes, it's gonna give you that illusion of a tinier waist, okay guys? So don't worry about looking manly. I've been working out since I'm 14. I'm 25 now, and I'm definitely still a female. I definitely still look like a female, okay? And I work out 5 times a week. So chill with the whole hype over it's gonna make you look manly. I promise you it won't, okay? The next thing I wanna touch on is spot reduction. And this is just like waist trainers and fit tee. It has gotten so much hype over the years. It is honestly disgusting. Like, people really, I see it all the time on Instagram. They'll even tie some of these myths together. They'll say, hey, watch my tightening tummy cream with this waist trainer. Watch back in a week and I'll show you my results. Oh my God. No, stop promoting this stuff. You're confusing the hell out of people. Guys, you cannot spot reduce. There's no such thing as spot reduction. And I'm literally yelling right now, and I'm so sorry for that. But you can't do it. It's not true. All right? And I've never heard it explained this well. There's one of my mentors kind of explained to me this way when I was younger and trying to figure this crap out for myself. What he said was, he said, fat in your body is a lot like gas in your gas tank. Okay, so thinking you can reduce fat from your stomach alone is like saying you want to use gas only from like the right side of your gas tank. Now just take a second. You can't do that, right? You can't just use gas from the right side of your gas tank. Okay, guys, well, guess what? You can't just pull fat from your left tricep, from your left butt cheek, from your abdominal region. You can't do it, okay? It's just not possible. Okay, so just like fat, just like gas in your car, is stored energy. It gets recruited equally from all of your body and sent to muscles to be burned. So there's no way you can just say, oh, I want to lose fat in my right butt cheek and it's going to happen, or my left underarm. Girls will do that all the time. They're like, I want to lose this, and they'll wiggle their arm fat or their belly. They'll pinch their belly. No, God, you can't do it. Be patient. Focus on compound lifts. Train every part of your body. With time, patience, and good training methods, you will lose the fat all over. Just like how when you're driving a car, if you go for a while, you have the patience. Well, not that patience is the right word, but you get what I'm saying. You get where I'm going. If you drive forever, you're going to run out of gas. Your left tank doesn't run out before your right tank. So just keep driving. You're going to run out, guys. Same thing with body fat, okay? All right, cool. Glad I could, debunk that one for you guys. just a side note, I'm just going to put in here that it would be a lot less awkward if I had a person I was doing this podcast to, because I swear I feel like I find myself hilarious and then I laugh at my jokes and then I realize I'm also recording myself doing this and I just sound like a fucking weirdo. So if you're a podcaster, you want to link up, I guess just let me know. Anyways, so the next one we're going to move on to is, I get this all the time actually. People will come to me and they say, oh, I just want to tone up. Yeah, I just want to tone my arms. I want to tone my belly. I want to tone my legs. Guys, that's a whole damn myth. That's a whole myth, okay? So the whole myth of more reps will tone your muscles and less reps will make you grow more muscle is completely bullshit. More reps doesn't make you tone your muscles, and less reps with heavier weight doesn't make you build your muscles. First of all, you can only gain muscle mass and you can only lose muscle mass. You can gain it or you can lose it. Just like you can gain fat or you can lose fat. But you cannot tone a muscle to make it look pretty. You can't say, oh, I'm going to do 15 reps and then that's going to make my muscle look pretty. No, you can either build a muscle or lose a muscle. That's it. That's all. And if you want to know how to build or lose a muscle, refer back to my 4 Different Training Styles podcast, because I explained how to do exactly that. Okay, guys, so stop with the whole toning muscles. It's not possible. You won't be able to do it. You're gonna be looking like a dog chasing its tail if you keep trying to go about all these crazy myths that are out there. That's why I did this podcast, because I know there's a lot of different information out there, and I truly, truly do want to help you guys get through the bullshit. If I can just help you filter out the bullshit, then my job here is done, okay? So, the very last one I'm going to touch on is this one I get all the time. People, when they start out their fitness journey, they're like, oh, I don't need to rest my muscles. I want to go, go, go all day long, every day. I want to go, go, go. They're like the Energizer Bunny, and they don't take rest days. Guys, this is a huge issue, okay? So if you're not giving your muscles rest, you're working against your body, I guess you can say. So whenever you're working out and doing bicep curls and squats and deadlifts and all these great workouts, these great movements, right? What happens is you're compressing your muscles. So if we're constantly compressing and compressing and compressing our muscles and never allowing them to decompress, we can only go so far, okay? So basically what I'm trying to say is when you work out, it puts your muscle in a shortened length, okay? So it literally shortens your microfibers, okay? So once it's shortening your muscles, if you're consistently doing this, you're never allowing your muscles to lengthen. And so if they're always in a shortened state, there's only so much you can grow. You'll never see your full potential if you never allow your muscles to decompress and to lengthen again, okay? So you're limiting how much you might be putting the work in, but you're working so much against your body that you're limiting the results you're actually going to be reaping from all the work you're putting in, okay? Not only that, but if you're not resting your muscles, it puts you at a greater risk for injury, right? And eventually, you'll be so shortened, like your muscles will be so shortened and you'll be so tight and you'll be so immobile that eventually you won't be able to go through the full range of motion. So say, you know, you are doing a squat and maybe your hamstrings or your calves or your quads, whatever the case may be, maybe they've just gotten so compressed and so tight over the years, you can't even go parallel on a squat now. So what happens when you can't go through the entire range of motion? Well, it's less muscle recruitment. So now you're hindering yourself even more, okay? So please, please, please work smarter, not harder. Take those rest days. I know, especially in the beginning when you're really excited over these things, it's hard to take those rest days, but make sure you're taking care of your body. Especially fitness should be a lifestyle. It should be a life-changing thing. So if you're looking to do this for the long run, like you should be, then be patient in the beginning, okay, guys? You don't need to be working out 7 days a week. Take those rest days, you know, place them with a nice couple breaks in the middle of your week and maybe one at the end of your week. That way you're ensuring your body does have the proper rest it needs to lengthen your muscles again, okay? That way you can go through the full range of motion. That way you can recruit all the muscles that need to be recruited in a certain lift, and you can grow and work with your body. So essentially you're working smarter instead of harder, okay? So that's pretty much, like I said, I posted on my Instagram story any questions that people had, and that's pretty much the last of them. Like I said, I did a 3-part series on nutrition. The first one was how to lose weight, gain weight, and maintain it. The second part was all about supplementation. So definitely go refer back to those two if you missed it. And then this one was kind of just debunking all of these popular diet culture myths for you guys. But yeah, that pretty much sums up the show. I want to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG. It's at amber.dupree. Dupree is spelled D-U-P-R-E-E-E with 3 E's because the other handle with just 2 E's was taken. So that sucks. But anyways, I post daily workouts, health and fitness tips, and just express myself. If you liked what I had to say, please subscribe and leave me a rate and review. All right, guys, love you all. Hope this helps some. Have a great day.